Well, so thankful and so blessed to be able to be with you today and for us to again be able to engage in a period of study and thought regarding God's Word this morning. And again, we welcome all of you that are visiting with us as we enter into our study this morning and hope that you'll stay around for a few moments. And let us get an opportunity to visit with you and to know you a little bit better and have some fellowship as well with you. Appreciate the Bible reading a few moments ago, Tim, and the comments that were made as a result of that. Our lesson text is going to come from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. We're really just going to break down this chapter together a little bit as we talk about navigating the last days. Now, when Tim read a few moments ago, he said that in the last days, perilous times are going to come, and he has recognized some of those things that Paul is writing to Timothy about here. But how do we navigate through these last days that we are in? I want to see, if you don't mind and are comfortable with this, a show of hands. How many of you have navigational systems in your vehicles now? All right, how many of you have a smartphone that'll do it even if you don't have one in your vehicle? That's about got everybody, right? You know, we have gotten to the point in our lives, in our society, where we just about can't do without that smartphone that will allow us to Google wherever it is that we need to go so that we might be able to get there. Now, I have heard of some horror stories in the past where people have plugged some things in and maybe it's taken them a different route and they've wound up lost a little bit. I haven't heard of as many of those stories these days, although maybe it still happens on occasion. But these things are fairly reliable. When you plug in that point that you're planning to go to, it's going to take you there most often, and you don't have to worry about it. You get to sit there and listen to it. You get to hear the voice say, in 0.5 miles, turn right onto highway, whatever it is. And you turn. And it's giving you directions, and you can look up at it if you've got it there in front of you, and you can see where you're supposed to turn. In 200 feet, turn right. In 50 feet. Hey, sometimes it does it so well, it annoys you, right? To the point that when you realize, I've got it from here, most often I just hit disconnect and shut it down. Because I'm tired of listening to it tell me what to do. You know, I get enough of that already. I don't need the navigation, you know. I don't have to have a navigation system do that for me. All right, so we just turn that thing off. But those things are fairly reliable, and most of us have become dependent upon them. And this, I will say this, a much better situation than that big old book we used to have to, you know, you remember mom and dad riding down the road, where are we going? Hey, you know, hey, watch out. You know, that big old book that was there that you looked through the roads on and tried to identify where you were, that could be confusing as well. So we've become dependent upon that for navigation to tell us how to get to where we need to go. What about in a spiritual way? How are we navigating the last days that we're dealing with here? And I want us to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, because here is Paul talking to Timothy about how he can navigate these last days and navigate them appropriately and effectively. And I want us to think about some of those things today. Now, there are four aspects of this chapter that I first want to identify. We're going to talk about these and mention a few things, and then we'll get to the meat of the lesson tonight, which is, what is Paul's recommendation to Timothy about navigating? And I appreciate what Tim had to say a few moments ago as he was reading. He said, listen, there's some ugly stuff that happens at the first part of this chapter. It's not something that's real pretty to think about or to consider or to look at. And maybe when you think about that, it can get depressing. But you know what? There's a beautiful answer at the end. A beautiful answer at the end if we'll listen to it, if we'll look at it. But here are the four aspects of this chapter. Number one, we got the signs of the time, verses 1 through 5. If we were to just break down this chapter a little bit, and we can look at that, we can see the signs of the time. Now, I'm not going to list every one of the things that Paul makes reference to here. I'm really going to kind of lump several of these into a few statements, but we get some idea of what's going on. First of all, we got this misplaced love. People have got their love misplaced. They're lover of pleasures more than lovers of what? Lovers of God. They have a love for what? Love for money. Their love is misplaced. This has become the focus. Whatever physical thing that they have gotten themselves involved in, that's become the priority of their life, and their love has become misplaced. It's not on God any longer. You've got people here that are disrespectful. You've got folks that are disobedient to parents, people that are ungrateful for the things that they have been blessed with in their life and in their world. And if you're disobedient to the parent, well, then you are being disrespectful. You are being ungrateful to them because of the things that they have blessed you with and what they've tried to do to help you in your life. So we can kind of lump them into this disrespectful group. Disobedient to parent, ungrateful, unholy. You've got a group of people that are arrogant. They're only thinking of themselves, lovers of themselves, egotistical, boasters, proud, arrogant folks. You got the people here in this passage of Scripture that have given themselves over to the world. There's a lot of worldliness that seems to be mentioned here in this passage of Scripture. So as we think about this aspect of it, the signs of the times indicate that people are going to behave like this. They're going to have priorities that are not spiritual. They're going to be disrespectful. They're going to be arrogant. They're going to be worldly. Lovers of pleasures. And that's not a pretty picture. And folks, when you have circumstances like this in your society and in your culture, it doesn't make for a good world. It just doesn't make for a good world. And so we think about the signs of the time that are mentioned here. The next aspect of this chapter is the cause of digression. And it's mentioned here in verses 7 through 9. First of all, the people have been led away by various passions. Okay, they've allowed themselves to be consumed with these things that they have desires for. And they say, you know what? I just enjoy that so much. I'm just going to throw caution to the wind. And I'm going to do that. That's my passion. I love it, and that's what I'm going to do. They're led away by various passions in life. Now, that can be identified as a variety of different things. That's what he says here, various passions. These are a variety of different passions. Some of them are things that we would look at and say, well, that passion is really bad. You know what? There are other things that become our passion that may not have any type of intrinsic evil to it. It becomes our passion to the point that it becomes our priority, and we become worldly and we become consumed with that so much that we lose sight of what's most important in the spiritual. So we're led away by various passions. Next, we're learning from what is not truth. That's something that I think that so many people have been plagued with. We have educated ourselves beyond God. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean that we've educated ourselves to the point that we are more intelligent than God, but we have educated ourselves to the point where we think we're more intelligent than God. We're listening to all of the self-help books, and what these folks are saying is the truth and what is right. Well, if it contradicts with something that we find in God's Word, well, they are culturally more relevant, so they must be giving us the real truth on this matter. Instead of examining the source of truth, which is God's Word, we're learning from what is not truth. And I hear people all the time say, I don't have a faith in the Bible anymore. Well, why is it that you don't have a faith in the Bible anymore? I'll tell you why. Because I've decided to study from a lot of different other sources. And I'm trying to get my information of how to live my life from another source. Or I want them to tell me certain things. I want to learn about this. And we have studied ourselves into confusion to the point where we're not learning from what is truth anymore. We're learning from what is not truth. Because there's only one truth, folks. That truth is found in God's Word. We need to listen to that truth. And that's what was causing this digression. Number one, these people were led away by their passion. They were learning from what is not truth. Let's read that text together. It says here in verse 7, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Never able to arrive at it. Always learning. I'm always filling my mind with something that I think is significant and important. I'm always trying to grab more education, but I'm never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What about this? Opposed people who are opposed to truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. So now, it's not just a matter of people that have tried to learn from different sources and just can't arrive at the truth. Now, these people have gotten to the point where they know truth, and they have made the conscious decision to do what? You're just not going to do that. You're just going to be disobedient. Led away by various passions. Learning from what is not truth. Now becoming opposed to truth. You kind of see a digression, a series here. And then finally, corrupted minds. Their minds have become so corrupted. I think the Bible talks about this a little bit when it talks about hardened hearts. People have allowed so much wickedness to consume them and corrupt them, and they turned their back on the truth for so long. It says that men corrupted in mind, and listen to this sad statement, and disqualified regarding the faith. They've been disqualified regarding the faith because they have opposed the truth, and their minds have become so corrupted. You read about this happening also in Romans chapter 1. People with corrupted minds, where God just gave them over to their vile passions, to their minds becoming so enamored with evil that that's what they just thought about continually. Their hearts had become hardened where they wouldn't turn back to God. So this is the cause of digression. Led away by various passions, learning from what is not truth, opposed to truth, corrupted minds. Now what about the third facet? Well, we got the impact of this on Christians. There is an impact, folks. There's an impact on our world when these things begin to happen and these types of behaviors are continued in. There's an impact on the world, but there's an impact on Christians. And what is the impact on Christians? Well, I've got a couple that I want to share with you today. Number one, there are persecutions that result from that. Because people are opposed to you telling them the truth when they have a corrupted mind. Well, they don't believe it anymore. They've never been able to come to a knowledge of that truth. They don't want to accept it. And now you are telling them that you are wrong and you've got to turn to God. This is the truth that you've got to live by. And people don't want to hear that. And so there are going to be persecutions. In fact, yea, all that live godly shall what? Suffer persecutions. If you are living the way that God wants you to live, at some point in your life, you're going to suffer from persecutions and affliction. You get an idea of what Paul went through. He says here to Timothy in verse 10, You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Ooh, here comes verse 11. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's the impact on Christians. There's going to be times of persecution. What else? What about this, though? As Christians, sadly, we have to watch the world continue to decline. I'm reminded of men in the Scriptures whose hearts were so moved and touched and devastated by the condition of their people that they wept. I know it makes me sad sometimes. I'm sure, Tim, it made you sad to see a situation like this because you sit there and you think about how much better it could be for folks, but we sometimes have to sit and watch the world burn. And folks, if you're a Christian, that is not something that's pleasant. It's not something that we want to see happen. It's not what God wants to happen. And it brings us great sorrow and pain and agony to think about those types of things happening in our world and impacting so many people. And the thought that the gates to hell are what? They are very wide. The gate to hell is wide. In other words, there are going to be lots of people that are walking down the pathway to destruction. And we have to observe that. And we're trying to do something to curb this problem, to at least save a few, to reach some lost soul with the gospel. And we get an opportunity to preach our hearts out, and we get an opportunity to try to influence in a positive way and to try to show people the truth of God's Word and the goodness that's found there and the life that they can have. And most often, it is rejected. That doesn't make me feel good. I don't know about you. That does not make me feel good. It does not make me feel good to think about the many people that I care about and I love that I'm afraid are not going to go to heaven. And so there's an impact on us as Christians. If you're a Christian with any kind of heart and the love of Jesus, having to watch the world burn is not pleasant. Having to watch friends and loved ones pass away, not ready to meet the Lord, hurts. And so there's an impact when we think about navigating these last days on Christians. What about this? But then there's the hope of Christians. We have a hope. And that hope was discussed here. This is the fourth of the impact, verses 14 through 17. And really, it's not going to come up here because apparently the slide's a little too large. But the passage there says Scripture. Beginning in verse 14, here's the hope of Christians. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, this is the hope of the Christians. But what I want us to look at together briefly, because we don't have very much time, is what Paul tells Timothy to do here in this passage of Scripture, in this chapter. Three things I want to share with you. The first thing that he says that he needs to do is he needs to avoid such people that have been described in verses 1 through 5. He says, you avoid such persons. In other words, don't allow them to have any type of influence or sway over you. And so when we go back and we look here at verse 5 again, he says, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. When you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and you look at verse 22, Paul has also given Timothy a reminder here to flee youthful lust. There are some things that you've got to get away from and you have to avoid. Now we go to James chapter 4. We find that we are to submit ourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinner. So purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He says, it's all about who you want to surround yourself with. Are you going to surround yourself with people who are doing those things that have been described here? Or are you going to try a different approach? It's much better. There are some things that we've got to avoid. And so Paul tells Timothy, if you want to be able to navigate these last days effectively and appropriately, here's who you don't hang out with. Next, he says, follow good examples. Follow good examples. That's what verse 10 says. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Well, that's what a big difference in the lifestyles of the two groups, or the group of people that are described to begin with, and the lifestyle of the Apostle Paul, whom Timothy is admonished to follow. You follow my teaching. Why? Well, because, folks, he was getting his teaching from above. He was being guided by God in what to share and what to teach and how to understand it. He was being guided by God on how to behave. You follow my conduct, my aim in life. Y'all think about that. When you think about navigating the last days, and I think about what Paul would write here to Timothy, I want you to follow my aim in life. Whatever point I'm headed towards, that's what point I want you to head for. This is what I'm aiming. What is his aim in life? What was Paul? His aim in life was to make sure that everybody heard about the great news of Jesus Christ. And he wanted that to be Timothy's aim as well. So follow good examples. And then finally, continue to learn from God's Word. He says there in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in the things that you have learned." Well, what was that? Paul writes about the sacred scriptures, the sacred writings, which he had had from his youth. And he had been taught in those things. He said, this is true. This is what will make you wise unto salvation. The world will burn if it wants to, but you don't have to burn with them. So here's how you navigate these last days. You avoid these influences that would be negative. You follow good examples. And you continue in learning from God's Word. And if you'll do that, you'll be able to navigate these last days. I want to thank you so much for being here today. Sometimes in the course of life, though, we stray. How many of us have been guilty of trying to take a shortcut only to get lost when we're trying to navigate from one point to another point? That happens spiritually too. Sometimes as we are going through life, we can veer off course a little bit. The great thing is, Jesus is here to redirect you. I have heard this before. In 50 feet, make a U-turn. Maybe you've heard it too. You're given an opportunity to do that today. If you're not living the way that you're supposed to live, if you're walking down a path that's leading you to destruction, you can make a U-turn right now. We'll give you an opportunity. Won't you listen to God and allow Him to guide you and navigate you through these last days? If you're not a Christian, you need to become one today. He wants to walk with you. He wants to lead you and guide you home. And if you need to make a U-turn this morning, please do that while together we stand and sing.